Welcome to the 180 Podcast. You are listening to a teaching of the 180, a new church committed to learning to love Jesus and love like Jesus. Our prayer is that God would use this teaching to help you grow closer to Him and that you would feel moved to join us in person, where you can grow in community with the larger 180 family.
Bienvenue à la balado-diffusion de l'Église 180. Vous écoutez un enseignement de l'Église 180, une nouvelle Église qui s'est engagée à apprendre à aimer Jésus et à aimer comme Jésus. Notre prière est que Dieu utilisera cet enseignement afin de vous aider à vous rapprocher de lui et que cela vous donne envie de vous joindre à nous en personne où vous pourrez vous épanouir au sein de la communauté qu'est la grande famille de l'Église 180.
Good morning, 180. I got to tell you, I heard about you guys a long time ago. I've been following you since like 2015 or 16, and it is fantastic to be here today and meet all of you. And you guys need to know there are other people across the country who are watching you, who know you exist, who know what's taking place here in Quebec and the beauty of all of it. And on behalf of the whatever number of churches in Alberta and Yellowknife, Northwest Territory that call themselves part of our district, I bring them their greetings to you today and just say, it is wonderful what God's doing here, and we love seeing it, and we're cheering you on. So it's been great to be here this morning and to meet a bunch of folks. I've really enjoyed meeting the people who are like newer around here. I haven't been here very long, or the people who have been here like at the very beginning when you were like cuddled into this warehouse meeting. It's very, very cool what God's doing here. So thanks for having me in. It's delightful to be here. I'm armed for the second service. I think I'm armed and ready to go for the needs that I have. So anyway, some evening when you've run out of things to do and your boredom meter has hit bottom, Google the words, God told me to, and be prepared to be amazed at the things that you read. I did that in prep for this message, and what to my wondering eyes should appear but some of the craziest stories I have ever read. Do you know Justin Bieber says that God told him to make specific songs with specific lyrics? Any Biebs fans here? There you go. With the last change of popes, Pope Benedict the 16th announced something that no pope had ever said. He said that God had told him to retire and to devote the rest of his life to prayer. Josh Hamilton, he was an outfielder with the Texas Rangers. He once reported after a game that God told him that he would hit a home run. And in reality, he actually did. In the 2011 American presidential election campaign, three of the presidential candidates told them that God had told them specifically that they were to run for the president of the United States. A woman on American Idol informed the judges that God told her to audition. And here's the best one. I read this story of a young man who told a young woman with whom he had been on three dates, and he told her that God told him very clearly that she was the one for him, and then expressed surprise, disappointment, and anger when she told him that God had told her no such thing. Okay? It keeps going. Like, for everyone that I would read in the, okay, that's kind of different. There's like five that are in the category of, no way, like that, no way. Okay, here's, a woman told police the reason she was driving so fast is God told her to go 100 miles an hour in a 30 mile an hour zone. I like to use that at a cop sometime, eh? A man told him that God said it was time to kill a police officer. A mother confessed to police officials that God told her to kill her three sons. A man revealed that God told him to break into a daycare and take all the children and kidnap them. A man said that God told him to behead a cat. Actually, that one, you know, there's... No, I'm just kidding. Totally. Cat people, sorry, I apologize, okay? A man admitted that God told him to walk the streets naked to save his soul. So if you ever see that happening, just remember, maybe God told. What does this teach us? This teaches us that we deeply need to understand what the Bible talks about when it talks about the voice of Jesus and training ourselves to hear the voice of Jesus. You know, we fall into two categories. When it comes to God told me so, it comes to two categories. One category is, for many of us, God doesn't seem to say very much at all. Words like hearing God sounds like an oxymoron to us. And then there's others who are here this morning who feel like if we don't really hear God on a regular basis, something's really wrong, because we tend to hear God's voice in a lot of ways in our lives. And it's really important. So at the church that I used to serve, Rock Point Church in Calgary, Alberta, one of the seminars that we did was called Hearing God. And we talked about all the normal ways in which God speaks to us. This is a super important topic for those who are followers of Jesus. So if you have your Bible or your phone with you this morning, I want to invite you to come with me to the Gospel of John as we continue our series. And find the Gospel of John, chapter 10. And this morning, we're honing in on the Good Shepherd as our focus as we walk through this Lenten study. So John chapter 10, beginning in verse 1, we're going to read the first 10 verses. Let's read together. Jesus is speaking and he says, "I tell you the truth. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And after he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They'll actually run from him because they don't know his voice." Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant. So he explained to them, "I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and to kill and to destroy. My purpose is to give them rich and satisfying life." Now, I want to talk for just a couple of minutes about sheep and shepherding. I'm thinking that this is a crowd that probably isn't all that familiar with sheep and shepherding. So here's a little sheep 101 for you this morning, okay? A couple things you want to know about sheep-related words and concepts, okay? So in Jesus' day, shepherding was well known. Everybody knew shepherds. Everyone watched them in action. As Jesus speaks these words, they're very familiar of it. Those who had wealth would often buy a sheep herd of, say, 100 sheep, would hire a shepherd to take care of their sheep. And in essence, they're really kind of managing their retirement, their future. This was income for them, okay? You constantly, as a shepherd, had certain responsibilities. One, you were to feed your flock, so you would lead them out to a pasture, and you would get them to water, and you would protect your flock, okay? You constantly worried about thieves, about wild animals, about rough terrain, sheep getting hurt, sheep getting too far away from the flock. And as each day ends, a shepherd would bring his sheep back to what verse 1 calls a sheepfold. And it was a large area that was basically put in place with a rock wall all the way around with one entrance. Wasn't very wide. That when you can find these all over Israel. Google it while I'm talking. You can find them. An entrance that goes into this sheepfold. And when they would put them in there, they were enclosed inside of this rock wall, and usually it was like three or four families would all put their flocks into that sheepfold. Each evening, the flocks would return, and each flock would be moved into the sheepfold for overnight protection under the care of somebody who was hired to guard the gate. That was their job. Okay? This watchman or gatekeeper would only allow authorized individuals to actually go into the sheepfold. And just like it says in verse 3, each morning, one by one, the shepherds of those flocks that were inside of that sheepfold would return. They would be let into the sheepfold by the gatekeeper to lead their sheep out to fresh pasture and water. Often, shepherds did this with a distinctive call or a whistle that happens. In this case, in Jesus' story, the shepherd called each sheep by its name. Every sheep, you know, had been named. You know, the one with three legs and two, one eyeball was like lucky, you know, whatever it was, and would call those sheep out to follow. And then just like Jesus says in verses 4 and 5, once the shepherd got the sheep outside of the sheepfold, they would head off somewhere, and they would go for water, they would go to pasture, and the shepherd in Jesus' story actually leads counter to the typical practice of his day. Most shepherds would drive their sheep from behind. You see that in Israel today if you go. They drive their sheep from behind. Jesus, it says that the shepherd gets out front and leads the sheep to where the shepherd wants to take them. Now, all of this makes sense when you read what Jesus says in this story. He says, here's the deal. He says, anytime someone sneaks over the sheepfold wall and avoids the gate to get in, you know that it's a thief. Someone is there to rob and steal from the sheep. A real shepherd allows the gatekeeper to let him in through the gate every time. And as soon as his sheep hear his voice, they know exactly who he is, and they head in his direction because they know that good things are in store. A real shepherd can call each of his sheep by name and lead them out of the sheepfold. They will all follow him. And when he does, he walks in front of them as they follow. And this is all because of one thing. They do it because they know and they recognize his voice. If it were a stranger, there is no chance that they would follow the shepherd. They'd simply run away because they don't know his voice. They know that's a thief and a robber. Now, armed with that information, I want to give to you three specific principles about the sheepfold, the principles of the sheepfold. There's three of them. Number one, first, in those days, you had to live with the reality that there are always those who are bent on destroying the flock. In verse 1, Jesus says, when someone goes over the wall instead of through the gate, he's a thief and he's a robber, and you can count on it. And those two words that he chooses, thief and robber, actually have different meanings. They mean different things. The thief side of it stresses the trickery, the sneakiness of trying to get into the sheepfold and steal those sheep. It actually, the root word in Greek is where we get the English word kleptomaniac from, like a thief, one who steals. And then the word robber here actually carries with it the idea of violence, that this is not only a thief who's sneaky, but it's a robber who actually wants to hurt the sheep. In other words, this is not a good guy. The one to whom Jesus is referring wears a black hat in this story, and he wants his listeners to know that this guy from the over-the-wall gang wanted to do two things, to steal the sheep and to kill the sheep. He's up to no good. He's bent on destruction. And those in the shepherding industry understood that very well, which is why they had the whole well-developed sheepfold for the night when they were in particular danger happening. Okay? So number one, there are always those who are bent on destroying the flock. Number two, sheep are intimately tied to the shepherd's voice. Okay? Jesus makes it clear that there's a wonderful connection between the shepherd's voice and the sheep. There's this inexplicable connection that's almost mysterious between them, where a sheep will do anything knowing the good shepherd's voice, knowing that the shepherd will lead them to food and to water and take care of them if they need healing. They know that. So in this story, hear it again. The gatekeeper opens the gate for the shepherd. The sheep recognize his voice and come to him. The shepherd calls his sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered them together, he walks ahead of them and they follow him because they know his voice. And finally, they'll run rather than follow a stranger because they don't know his voice. Four times, Jesus ties the voice of the shepherd in almost an inexplicable way with the life of the sheep. And in the first century, Middle Eastern culture, the basis of the shepherd's relationship with his sheep are his voice. The basis of the shepherd's relationship with his sheep is his voice. One more time. The basis of his relationship with his sheep is his voice. The health of any flock was entirely dependent upon those in the flock being able to recognize the shepherd's voice. They got to eat, they got watered, they were taken care of and given good health, totally dependent upon the shepherd's voice. Okay? So, sheep are intimately tied to their shepherd's voice. And then third principle, real shepherds only show up in legitimate ways. They always do. Real shepherds, when the shepherd showed up every morning to gather and lead his sheep out, there was one way he came to the sheepfold. He came in through not going over the wall. He didn't remove rocks and create another gate. He walked up to the gatekeeper. He revealed himself for who he was. He walked through the gate into the sheepfold. His arrival was always legitimate. And when he arrived, the sheep undeniably knew that it was him. And as a result of this, they trusted him, and they knew that good things were on their way. Now, let's take those principles and those stories. Let's go from the first century to the 21st century. Let's go from Palestine to the province of Quebec. Let's go and take something that is an ancient text and apply it fresh in our lives. And let's go from a human shepherd and sheep to our divine shepherd. And I want to give to you four some principles and applications for the sheep today. And that's because of this. The scriptures very clearly, in a number of ways, show us that God is our shepherd, that Jesus is our shepherd, and we are a sheep. Many of you know Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I don't lack anything. He causes me to lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. He feeds me. He takes care of me. All those things, that picture of Psalm 23. This analogy of God's people being sheep and God being our shepherd is all over Scripture. Because it's a metaphor, a picture that comes from the day in which those Scriptures were written. Psalm 100, verse 3. Know the Lord. He is God. It is He who made us. We are His. We are His people. We are the sheep of His pasture. Isaiah 53, verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. Sheep stray from the flock. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned, each of us, to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. In other words, Jesus, our great shepherd, took upon him our sin so that we, as the sheep who had gone astray, could actually be saved. Jeremiah 50, verse 6 says, my people have become lost sheep. Matthew 9, 36 says, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, for they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And then finally, John 10:10 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So if that's true, if Jesus is our shepherd and we are his sheep, how do Jesus' words actually apply to us? How do we put these into practice? So I want to give you three apps. App number one, listen for God's voice because it can still be heard. I believe that with all my heart. Now, there are going to be some of you who are here today who say to yourself, I don't hear God's voice. I've never heard God's voice. I don't even know what he's talking about when he talks about hearing God's voice. One of the things I used to do at the church we served, a Rock Point church in Calgary, was we used to teach this seminar called Hearing God. And one of the ways we would begin was by trying to help people to see that you actually do hear God's voice. When you're out in nature and the beauty of creation, and the mountains, and the rivers, and the lakes, and the trees, They all speak to you of the presence of God. We call it, theologians call it, general revelation. That's God, one of God's methods of speaking to you. Or you're having your own quiet time, your devotions, and you're reading something in Scripture, and as you read it, a thought comes to you that you didn't come up with. It's not your wisdom. You're not smart enough to do that. And it's basically the Holy Spirit speaking to you through Scripture in your life as that happens. We go through those things. Sometimes you'd be sitting in a sermon. Hopefully this morning's sermon is one of those where you're reading your Bible, we're studying the Scripture, and something comes to you in your quiet time or in a sermon, and it just clearly speaks to you, and it reminds you of 2 Timothy 3:16-17, which says that all Scripture is inspired by God, and it's useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what's wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong. It teaches us how to do right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. God speaks through Scripture. Or it's late at night one night. You're going through something very difficult. You don't have the wisdom. You don't know what to do. You cry out to God and say, God, please help me. Would you speak to me and give me direction in this? And as you do that, sometimes it just out of the blue comes to you. And it's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. It's God, your shepherd, speaking to you and speaking into your life. It reminds us of John 14:26, which says this, when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, He will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I, Jesus, have said to you. And you realize the Holy Spirit can speak to you right where you are. And then, some of you have heard the stories that come to us from the Muslim world. And you'll come from a place where there's a Muslim who is spiritually sensitive, very interested in this Jesus, this Jehu that they hear of. And in a dream in the night, Jesus comes to them and says, my name is Jesus, and I love you, and I want you to follow me because I am real. That experience has been duplicated over and over and over and over in our age and in previous ages throughout history. That is how God speaks. It's just like He did in Scripture when He revealed Himself to Mary and to Joseph and the wise men and to the Apostle Paul and the Apostle John through dreams and visions. God still speaks today. Hearing Jesus' voice is important. Folks, the eternal design is that God's people, His sheep, are inextricably tied to His voice, and we must listen for His voice because it can still be heard today. I want to give you a key verse for each of my three applications. This one is John 10:27, when Jesus says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Now, just as an aside, you may be here today, and you're not a part of the 180. Someone invited you to church, you came, or whatever tends to take place that brings people to gatherings like this. First of all, I'm not a pastor at this church, but I would just say you're super welcome here. You're welcome to come. You're welcome to experience what the 180 does. You're welcome to ask your questions and be a part of the community here. That's absolutely beautiful. But secondly, I just want to say this. The essence of what this community is all about is the fact that we belong to a God who speaks to us today. We believe that God speaks. We believe He speaks through nature. We believe He speaks through His Word. We believe He speaks by His Holy Spirit. We believe He speaks through dreams and visions that He gives to people. That's what this community is all about, and you need to know that. Okay? Application number two. Beware of other people's voices because they still compete with God's voice. In Jesus' day, thieves and robbers, we're told by Jesus, were hopping over walls to steal the lives of sheep. In our day, spiritually speaking, this is still happening. As a pastor, I can't tell you the number of times I have sat down with somebody who is on a particular track in life that believes that God has told them to do a particular thing that totally is counter to what His Scriptures say. That doesn't happen. God doesn't speak contrary to His Word. And to be able to have to explain to them, you're hearing a voice. You're hearing something. It might come from your flesh. It might come from your enemy, the devil. But it was coming from a place that doesn't come from God, and we need to recognize that. Beware of other people's voices because they still compete with God. This hasn't changed since the time of Jesus. Interestingly, this passage in John chapter 10, go back to just before it in John chapter 9. And when you come to that and you read near the end of the chapter, you begin to see that Jesus heals a man who has been blind since birth, and his neighbors are trying to figure out what in the world happened. So they take this blind guy who now can see, and they take him to the Pharisees, to Jesus' opponents, and the Pharisees go out in the power play. All of them versus just Jesus defending his goal, and they attack from a variety of directions on their power play, saying, Jesus is not from God. In fact, Jesus is nothing more than a sinner. In fact, we don't even know where Jesus really comes from. And Jesus responds to these men who are competing with everything he has said and done and revealed about himself is the story we just read in John chapter 10, verses 1 to 5. It's how he explains it. And these competing voices with Jesus today, they fill websites. They fill books. They fill shelves of books at your local bookstore. And the key verse here is this. You need to understand this. John chapter 10, verse 10 tells us this. The thief's purpose is to steal and to kill and to destroy. But my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Some of you who've been around the church a while will know that that word's rich and satisfying life will know it as abundant life. Others of you will know it as like life to the full, the fullest kind of life. What Jesus is saying in a literal translation, it's almost stunning. He says this, I came in order that those who believe in me would continuously have an all-encompassing, never-ending, beyond what is experienced, more than enough life. That's what your shepherd wants for you. Not to kill, steal, or destroy, but to give you abundant life, life to the full. He wants to give that to you. So beware of others' voices because they still compete with God's. And then last application, number three. We, as sheep of Jesus, as followers of Jesus, must develop a familiarity with our shepherd's voice. We need to know what Jesus says. We need to understand when he speaks to us. We need to know his voice. And here's why this is important. It's important because the key to following is to follow the shepherd's voice. Because we're all inextricably tied to the shepherd's voice. Because it's the shepherd's voice that defines who we are, what direction we take as his sheep. And finally, because without his voice, we're in deep trouble. Like we won't last for long without hearing the shepherd's voice leading us in our lives. Notice how impacting the shepherd's voice is in this story. These sheep recognize his voice. They come to his voice. They're led out of the sheepfold by his voice. They gather together in a single flock by his voice. They follow him as shepherd by his voice. They reject and flee from all other shepherds who do not have his voice. They eat and they drink. They are led. They are healed. They experience life with the shepherds by his voice. It's a normal rhythm of the life of the shepherd that the shepherd's voice be heard in our lives. So we must develop a familiarity with the shepherd's voice. Now catch this. Familiarity doesn't breed contempt when it comes to the shepherd's voice. In fact, it's quite the opposite. Familiarity breeds trust, so that we must become more familiar with the shepherd's voice. Now, this happens in every relationship. You know it. If you're married, there was a particular day in your life when you probably stood before some people. It might have been a town hall. It might have been with all your family in a church or someplace outdoors. But you entrusted your life to somebody. You said to somebody, I love you. I commit myself to you. I did that May 4th, 1985 in Red Deer, Alberta with Jamie Boda, who I'm married to. But through the years, we have developed an understanding of each other's voices that have led to intimacy in our relationship with one another. You ever had the experience with your spouse of hearing something that they say? And you know by what they're saying, what they really mean that no one around you is picking up. Anyone had that experience? Same thing happens in friendship. I walked into a Sunday school class when I was in like grade 3. That same day, a guy named Scott with one T walked into Sunday school class, at Hillsdale Alliance Church in Regina, Saskatchewan. We became fast friends in grade three, and 55 years later, we're still friends. I can pick up the phone when it rings, answer it, hear his voice, and I can tell you what mood he's in, how life is going for him. That's how relationships work. We're called, we're invited to hear the voice of the shepherd in the same way, to know his voice, to know what he's leading us to do and what he's saying. We must develop a familiarity with the shepherd's voice. So listen for him. Pursue him. Read his word. Listen to his word being taught. Discuss his word with others who live life close to you. There's an old illustration by a ministry called the Navigators that was started back in like the 1940s among servicemen in San Diego who were in the Navy. And they used the picture of a hand to talk about the various ways that we interact with Scripture, that we hear it and we read it and we study it and we meditate on it and we memorize it. All these ways that the voice of the shepherd actually gets into our lives. And that's key for us to be able to do that. Now, I want to remind you as we close about this book. You know, not many people bring Bibles to, they do, you bring your Bibles to church, but you bring it on your phone, which is totally a legitimate way of studying the Scriptures. Sometimes I find it helpful to have a separate book, but I want to remind you as we close about this book and about how utterly unique it is. Okay? It's utterly unique in its circulation. Most authors would love to get their book at the top of a New York Times bestseller list for, just put me up there for like 2 or 3 or 4 weeks and I'll make $1 million and all kinds of things happen. This is the best circulated, the best selling book in human history. This book has been the most translated, it's really unique in that it's the most translated book in human history, like by far. So what today, I think the world population today is like around 8 billion people. I looked this up this morning, 7.23 billion people on planet Earth have access to the Scriptures in one form or another. Many of them have it in the entire translated Bible. Some just have it in the New Testament, and some have it in some scattered parts at this point. But 7.23 billion out of 8 billion people have the Scriptures. It's unique in its translation. It's unique in its durability. Throughout the years, centuries, countless kings and rulers have tried to eradicate the world of this book. They've collected it, they've burned it, they've tried to destroy it, but the word of the Lord stands forever, continuing to shape and change lives. It's unique in the effects it claims to have upon people. Imagine it. You read a book that you really love and you get done and you go, "Boy, that was a great book," but boop, goes back up on the shelf. Rarely do we read a book for a second time, maybe a second time, maybe a third time sometimes. Across this congregation and community, many of you every day return to this book as your source of strength, as your method of hearing the shepherd's voice. This book continues to have an impact on your daily life, months, years, decades, some of you are so old, centuries later, this book is still impacting you. And then finally, this book is unique in its compilation. It's written by like 40 authors or more across a period of 1,600 years that many of them were not connected in any way to each other. And when it's said and done, there's a theme, a ribbon of redemption that runs through this book. That tells the story of what your shepherd did for you, of how he invites you to follow him and to hear his voice. And I highly recommend this book to you. Know this book, read this book, learn how to read it and apply it to your life because it's crucial to hearing the shepherd's voice. So Lord, I bow before you and I pray for my friends here in Montreal and I thank you for what you're doing in this place. I thank you for the things that you're teaching this community about following you. I thank you for the things that you're speaking to them about and they're becoming thematic to what this community does and what it is. And we give you thanks for your goodness to us. As we walk out of this place and we go back to the lives that we live, where we live and we work and we play, we pray, O Shepherd, that you'd help us to hear your voice so clearly, that we would live in light of the fact that you've said, "I am your good shepherd. Would you do that for us this week? Me as I go to Alberta, these folks here in Quebec, would you lead us, O Shepherd, for we surrender to you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Matt. Hey, I think I'm on here. Check, check. There we go. What a gift to have Matt with us. It's such a special reminder for me, even as I think about the gift of preaching God's word regularly, that we have this responsibility to also cultivate a way of learning and to live and to do what the Bible says. One of the things I shared in the first service, I want to say again, is just we have been given the unique responsibility to be in this province. That means we are the first Bible people will ever read, is how they see us living our lives. We live in a place where many people are not going to just pick up a Bible and start reading it. Some people don't trust the Bible. They're not sure they even believe in God. And so what a great reminder to us this morning for Pastor Matt. Can we just thank him again for sharing? Thanks, Matt. He's just going to be out there. And I know just the weight of his job with the many churches, many things going on, just the opportunity we have to have him with us for this weekend is very special. So I'm going to have you just stand. And before I let you go, I just want to remind you. You can stand. Yeah. Before I let you go, I just want to remind you that as we move towards Easter, we're living in a time where for some people, they might just be open to visit the church that you go to connect with you and maybe learn about God in a new way. And so as we move closer to Easter over the next few weeks, can you just be sensitive to the ways the voice of the shepherd will say to you, hey, that person you work with, that family member that's been talking to you and starting to trust you, can you remind them that there's a place that they can go to learn of how much I love them and how much I care for them? So over the next few weeks, we're going to make room, we're going to pray, and we're going to ask God to help us to be people who take his word seriously, consistently. So let me pray for us before I let you go. Jesus, we thank you for reminding us that the Father is a good shepherd and that you came to model what it means to give your life for us, your sheep. I pray for those maybe here this morning or maybe listening online who are not sure how to take that next step, that you would help them, just give them the courage to just begin by opening the Bible, maybe consistently starting to learn with us, whether it's online or in a home group or just gathering with us regularly. Would you help us even as we leave now to remember that you are helping us to discern what it means to hear your voice? We're going to need that to survive the complexities of this world. So as we step out in faith, we pray you would go ahead of us. Be with Pastor Matt. Be with our fellow churches, our brothers and sisters around Canada. Would you help them to continue to make you the center of their lives? And would other people who've never read the Bible or yet understand the Bible see the truth of the Bible in our lives? We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Hey, God bless everyone. Good to see you. We'll see you soon. Make sure you say hi to someone, especially if they're new. And if you'd like to talk to someone or pray with someone, we'd love to just meet you even in our prayer space right here up front. We'd love to connect with you. God bless everyone. See you next week.